Okay, here we are, back with you for another hour. This is such a busy time now, incredibly busy. And back with us tonight, we weren't able to connect last Friday, so Father Paul Kramer has joined us tonight to go over some material that is obviously of interest to a lot of people. We have, particularly in the Catholic Church, the Catholic religion, 1.2 billion Catholics in the world. The Church is an extremely powerful instrument, and if you're new to these discussions, the papacy has been overthrown, and the new pope is a fraud. He's a globalist, and I think he's probably even worse than that in terms of pedophilia and other things. I don't know, but he's a very creepy man. Bergoglio is his real name. So we think that the Church is being now manipulated to redesign itself, to reformat itself, to rebrand itself as a new religion. I'll still call it the Catholic Church, but it's going to be predicated on Mother Nature, the planet, the earth, climate, and all of that garbage. It's not all garbage, but the way it's being manipulated is garbage. So we've got that. We've got a lot of things to talk about as well. Thank you, Father Kramer, for being back with us tonight. Good to talk with you.
Yes, it's good to be back again. And I have to say, I wholeheartedly agree with everything you say about this man. I have studied this matter for the last 10 years since the man was elected. And Jorge Bergoglio, who calls himself Francis, people think he's the Catholic Pope. It is not so. He is the founder of a false church. He is remaking the church into a new church. The former Catholic Church is still there, but it is, as it were, in the woodwork. What is most plainly visible is a counterfeit church, and it is the church of the United Nations Agenda 2030. Mm-hmm. It is not the church of the apostles of Saint Peter, of the Catholic popes, Catholic saints, and the Catholic faithful down through the ages. It's a different church altogether.
Right. Same name, different church. So go ahead, Father Kramer.
Yeah, it's the same name, and that's what takes so many people in. It presents itself as a big signboard, Catholic Church, and people don't really notice that it's not the same religion, it's not the same church.
How much progress have they made after the overthrow? And we're talking about Benedict XVI when he was removed, forced to step down, which is highly unusual, to put it mildly. How much progress have they made in taking over the upper-level control matrix of the church worldwide now, not just locally? How are they doing? How much power have the imposters accrued?
The main indicator is the appointments that this man has made. And not only the cardinals that he has named, but the bishops that he's appointed throughout the world. And in the Roman Curia, in the key positions of the Roman Curia, he has appointed men who are very outspoken about their views about religion, views that are very radical. His replacement for the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, which he could now call the Dicastery for the faith. He replaced Cardinal Müller with a man who wrote a book called The Art of Kissing.
Oh, okay.
The commission that would be responsible for investigating private revelations and apparitions. He appointed a man who said that God would. Any apparition were purportedly of the Virgin Mary, if God would speak through this apparition, and it would be speaking of punishment of the world, chastisement. That this could not be from God, because the Virgin Mary, being a loving mother of her children, would not be threatening them with something so harsh as a terrible punishment. Is this unreal? You might just as well condemn the sacred scriptures, the Bible. God punished the world with the flood in the time of Noah, and we're living through times that are, I think, worse than the days of Noah.
Well, they're certainly on the doorstep of thermonuclear annihilation now. Things are getting worse all the time, and I don't see a happy ending to this. Maybe Noah's purge, in terms of the actual size of the event, given the number of people there, that was a catastrophe. It may be worse by far this time around. I don't know. It doesn't look good out there to me. Not at all.
It will be worse this time around. There will be, in the end, as Our Lady of Fatima said, in the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. In the end, there will be a happy ending. But before that, there's going to be a great cataclysmic event, which is foretold throughout sacred scripture, throughout the Old Testament and New Testament.
Right.
And if you read carefully, you will see that God will shake the world to its foundations. And this is plainly written by the Old Testament writers.
Right. Sounds about right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's foretold so long in advance that the greater the event, the longer is the distance in advance that it's foretold. And we're talking about something foretold. Mm-hmm. More than 2,000 years ago, written more than 2,000 years ago. So yes, that is going to happen. There's going to be events that we cannot imagine. Father Malachi Martin spoke of the third secret of Fatima, and he always said, keep your eyes in the sky. There's going to be a heavenly manifestation. There's going to be some supernatural manifestation that will be visible in the sky. That is in the third secret.
And, are we supposed to be thinking about incoming ICBMs streaking down through the ionosphere? That would be pretty freaky. Or something else, like an apparition. I guess
it's going to be something that this will be a heavenly warning. And for example, in the Roman Breviary, it is written that Before the second coming of Christ, the sign of the cross itself will be seen in the sky. And beyond that, I could not say much more about what has directly been revealed about the heavenly signs. Our Lord Jesus Christ says in the Gospels that there will be signs in the sky.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But this is one that has been endorsed by the church down through the ages, and it is in the Roman Breviary that the sign, the cross itself will appear in the sky, and there are a number of saints who have prophesied that this will take place, and this is the sign that God is, the last sign that God is going to give before the chastisement of the whole world. The chastisement
time,
of the
time,
whole.
What's the time frame between the two events? The chastisement for the whole world sounds like the final act, the warning. What's the time? There's no guess, I guess, except whatever somebody thinks. 6 months, a year, 2 years, a week? We're right on the edge, it seems like. Go ahead.
It won't be a year or 2 years. When that is finally seen, you know that the day of reckoning is at hand. In the meantime, we look at the signs of the times and what is foretold in the sacred scriptures, what is in the gospel of Christ, our Lord, in the New Testament. And he said, before these things happen, nation will rise against nation. There will be wars and rumors of wars. Well, that is right. Happening now.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Now, well, we're actually already at war, Father Kramer, as you well know, probably better than most anyone, we're already at war. These things are already underway. The final act would be thermonuclear exchange. We're not there yet, but that's pending.
There are events taking place now that are not being reported in network news. Surprise, surprise, surprise.
What a shocker, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Israel made a drone attack. This is ironic. A drone attack on a drone factory in Iran. Just a few days ago.
Right.
And there were some Russian advisors, military advisors, in that factory. None of them were hurt, but they had to take refuge in their hotel. But we can see where this is leading, that with Israel attacking a drone factory.
Uh-huh. Sure.
Iran is becoming more and more belligerent.
Right.
Israel is not going to tolerate that kind of activity on the part of the Iranians. There's a confrontation brewing. And with Russia becoming involved, an event that will take out some Russians, there could be, and there has been already, attacks on not just Iran, but Syria, Damascus, the airport in Damascus. And Russia is going to be involved in such a manner when Russian forces are struck, they're not going to be non-responsive, to put it that way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There will be a response, and in the manner there have always been responses, such as in the First World War. The Archduke Francis Ferdinand was assassinated, and
his wife. Don't forget about her, Sophie. Yeah. They both were.
Now, I remember reading this in the book of Solzhenitsyn, I think it was August 1914, that usually when someone is murdered, the response is to prosecute the perpetrator. But mm-hmm. instead, war was declared, and all of Europe was plunged immediately into a great war. And that became known as World War One. And the aftermath of World War One led to World War Two. And what is often forgotten is even though people think of this as mere conspiracy theories, because they've been programmed to think that by the programmers, not just of the propaganda, but of the wars themselves, it has been scripted.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the events that are taking place today, you have to think that the leaders of the Western world, they aren't that stupid. I'm not talking about the presidents and prime ministers. They are that stupid, unfortunately.
No, but figureheads often are. That's kind of goes with the territory. Yeah.
But the ones that Lenin called the commanding heights, you can see plainly that they have scripted events to bring about another great war. So we're going to have many disturbing events, many cataclysmic events, the collapse of the economy, where we see the rise of Islam is culminating, and there's going to be another great jihad. There has been in the past Islamic attacks, massive invasions in past centuries. This is going to happen again. There's going to be, immediately following upon that, a world war. You're going to see the implementation of this sanitary dictatorship through the so-called vaccines, which are the excuse for implementing the program for the so-called vaccines. These bioweapons, of course, are pandemics. And the pandemics are so mathematically improbable to happen one upon another and following one again, again, and again, yet mm-hmm. it's happening. This has been going on since the outbreak of AIDS back in the 1980s.
Right.
And the corporate science, the institutional, I should say, the outcome-oriented science that you find in the scientific journals, and everything is programmed according to those who finance the whole system.
Mm-hmm.
They would have us believe that this all takes place naturally and by chance, and it just so happens that one after another, these mathematical impossibilities are taking place that, on the one hand, they themselves admit that it is so highly improbable, the mathematical probability itself would indicate against that these viruses would mutate and jump from species to species and infect humans. Yet it's happening as such a regular occurrence that the World Health Organization tells us that this present decade, the 2020s, is going to be the decade of pandemics.
Right. Well, they say that we are told in advance of almost every major event. There's some, I don't want to call it a code of honor, but there's some code that has to be followed by these dark side denizens, where they tell the lame and infirm, the sheeple, what's going to happen to them in advance, whether it's 5 years, 20 years, 50 years. It's all predictive programming. They tell us in advance. And if you're smart enough to be able to read the tea leaves, you can get a pretty good handle on this. And I think the idea of a pandemic was a given. I didn't see anywhere that people would figure out that it would be the so-called vaccine that would be the actual deadly component of the pandemic. But that's what happened. This was a genocide, a Holocaust. We've lost tens and maybe hundreds of millions of people around the world already. And it does appear that we're building to some kind of a crescendo with this death wave. It's getting to be worse. Go ahead.
Yes, and this is something two-pronged, because not only are the vaccines themselves causing a huge wave of death, but the pandemics themselves, they have created these pathogens. And they've been doing it for a long time. I remember reading a book by Peter Deryabin, who I remember he was in the Soviet Army describing his life in the Battle of Stalingrad. So that puts a date on this man. We're not talking about somebody that recent. We're talking about the Battle of Stalingrad. He was a Soviet defector. He had been the chief of the Kremlin Guard. He was very high ranking. And he spoke about the laboratories where they were developing these pathogens of disease, and others. Alexander Sakharov, the KGB captain, was another one who spoke of these things. And what these KGB officers mentioned were that the KGB were petrified when they had to go and investigate anything in these bio labs, because you make one little mistake, one little error, you knock something down by accident, you trip, you can let loose the most horrible disease that's going to kill millions.
Oh yeah. Well, they're building these diseases now, Father Kramer, and you know this. They've been constructing these things for decades now, and the last 10, 20 years has put them into a whole new realm of DNA. These are so diabolical now, what they can do. It's almost science fiction. Go ahead.
This is just, I mentioned this just to show how far back this goes.
Yeah, yeah.
Biological weapons have been developed for so many decades, and in the United States, this has been going on for a long time. But the so-called scientific community, when they talk about outbreaks of pandemics, mm-hmm. they will not look in that direction. They deliberately turn their gaze away from that reality. And they theorize, hypothesize, speculate about these pandemics and diseases breaking out from nature. And they say it's far more likely that it came from nature rather than from these bio labs that have been preparing these weapons, these biological weapons for so many decades. And they say it's far more likely that they are breaking out naturally, and then it's their own science which has calculated the incredible improbability that these things will be breaking out one after another. But the World Health Organization has already said this decade of the 2020s is going to be a decade of pandemics.
Well, they're telling us in advance what's coming. You got it.
Yes. And back in the early 2000s, Bill Gates, this big surprise, says that this coming decade will be the decade of vaccines. I interviewed a couple of times, a number of times, Lindsay Williams, the Baptist.
Lindsay was a good friend of mine for a long time. Oh, 25 years I knew Lindsay, yes.
I met him a number of times. He came to Canada, I did radio and TV interviews with him.
Oh, nice.
And he spoke about the financial elite, and he knew some individuals. He wouldn't mention the names, but I actually looked up back when you could actually find things on the Google search engine, and within a couple of minutes, I found the names of the people he was talking about.
Well, one of them was named, I'll just use the first name. I know the name. It's Ken. And he got to know these people up working on the Alaska pipeline. He was the chaplain for the whole project, as you know. And he would fly from camp to camp and hold services, minister to the workers there and so forth. And the movers and shakers who were running the whole project really liked Lindsay. And they took him in as basically one of their own. And he would dine with them and talk with them. And they shared a lot of information with him. And Ken was the primary, the biggest one on the block. And he told Lindsay some amazing things that he shared on this program, and they happened exactly as he was told they would. Remarkable stuff. Anyhow, yes, that's Lindsay.
Yeah. There was another one. I looked up the name, and I found it, but I don't remember it now.
That was the one after Ken. Ken died of a brain tumor, and then the one who wasn't quite as well informed continued to feed Lindsay information. Yes.
The Northern African in the Arab world, the uprisings that took place. Mm-hmm. They foretold exactly that this was going to happen, and they said, "When you see these things happening, be aware that we're the ones behind this, that we're the ones making this happen." Mm-hmm. And the so-called Arab Spring, the financial elite were behind that. And Lindsay Williams spoke out 6 months in advance before it first began and said, this is going to happen. And he said associates, his friends, that he knew from the time that he was a chaplain on the pipeline, that he was told that this is they're doing. They're the ones behind this. And sure enough, it happened. And he said that they have a code of ethics. It's not like we have in the Christian world, the commandments of God, what is right and wrong, was morally good and evil, that dictates our code of ethics. They have a different code of ethics. They don't believe in sin. They don't believe in divine commandments. They don't believe in God committing to Moses on stone tablets the commandments of God, that sort of thing. But they do have a code of ethics. It's something that is more innate, that they're somehow driven to tell you in advance what they're going to do. And they telegraphed to the whole world through the mass media, predictive programming, and they let you know in advance exactly what they're going to do. And if you are perceptive, you can pick up the signals very clearly, like an insect with antennas. Pick up and decipher what they are saying in advance, because the signals are very clear if you're looking for them. And they have told us so clearly that there are going to be these terrible diseases, pandemics, and they're the ones who are behind it. And the remedy for these diseases that they're going to create are going to be worse than the diseases, and that's going to be the vaccines. Because the vaccines, and they have told us in advance what they're going to do with these vaccines, not only are these vaccines going to reduce the population, I've mentioned this before. How does a vaccine reduce the population? Well, there are two things. It can kill you, and it can sterilize people. And when you are vaccinating billions of people with vaccines that cause terrible diseases and catastrophic health events, and also cause sterility, you're going to have a major reduction in population.
It's already happening. You're right. Yep.
And on top of that, when you cause the pandemics that create the apparent need for vaccines, the pandemics themselves are catastrophic enough by themselves, even without the vaccine, that is even worse. So much so that it has been predicted by Daigle that there's going to be a great reduction in population by the year 2025. And
you got it. We have the whole story for everyone who'd like to look. If you haven't seen the Daigle, D-E-A-G-E-L, Daigle projections, they're up at the top of the homepage on the right. Just scroll down a little bit and you'll find them at rents.com. Go ahead.
Daigle's predictions are not just predictions. His sources coming from this, from intelligence agencies, from the CIA, and right. Such. These predictions are more like targets than predictions. This is the targeted what is aimed at. Like the Georgia Guidestones, that is something that has been predicted long in advance as something that the agenda intends to achieve this result, the reduction of population, and you find it going back even to the 1970s. All the fake science that has been created by the movers and shakers of the financial elite, they have financed the think tanks, which formulated the agenda for the so-called climate science, and they already said in advance what they intend to do with the climate science, which is to basically wipe out the food supply, because they say that human agriculture is what's causing the changes in climate that are so detrimental to the planet. And they're making the human race is something less important than nature. It's all about the worship of nature worship. And that brings us back.
It goes back to it's paganism, isn't it? Isn't that another word we could use for it?
Right. And if I could just put it in one word, Bergoglio, his first encyclical, Laudato Si, taking the that beautiful hymn of Saint Francis of Assisi, and disfiguring it with his commentary. In his so-called encyclical, which was his first salvo in instituting the new religion of the counterfeit Catholic Church to implement the religion, the nature worship religion of the United Nations, the pagan, godless institution of the United Nations is dictating what will be the religion of mankind. And it is something entirely pagan. It is something demonic. It is It is built on the principle of doublethink. And this is what takes in so many people, because you point out what they are doing to the Catholic Church, and you find these blind people throughout the Catholic world who will say, "Well, no, he upholds the teaching of the Church. He says so. He upholds our creed." No, this is doublethink. The contradiction is built into the new religion. The contradiction is built into the new religion. It's not yes or no. Jesus Christ says in the gospel, "Let your words be yes, yes, or no, no. And anything else is from the evil one." But no, Bergoglio's anti-gospel is yes and no. Yes and no. Yes, we believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, but we believe in nature, which contradicts the entire narrative of sacred scripture dictated by God Almighty himself. And you can take every article of faith in the Apostles' Creed, and you can, as it were, apparently debunk everything with so-called science. The new religion is based on a pseudoscience, a co-opted scientific community that is outcome-oriented in everything they do. All of their controlled, randomized tests are outcome-oriented. The outcome is dictated by the people who finance these tests. And people have not, by and large, people have not caught on to the trickery that is involved. But it's like the magicians that you see on television back in the 50s and 60s that were so popular.
Mm-hmm. Oh, magic was really popular on TV in the early days. You can go back and look at the old videos. They always had a magician on the variety shows. Yes, lots of them.
And the magic tricks, of course, there was no magic to it. It was all trickery. And this is what modern science has become. The same kind of magic. The trickery. Magic tricks. Because with all the randomized testing that they do, it takes place within set parameters. And the people who set the parameters are the ones who predetermine the outcome. And we've seen them doing this for decades. Any remedy, any medicine that is developed that actually cures the most terrible diseases, like cancer.
Mm-hmm.
There are cures for cancer. Cancer is a disease that is easily cured, but we are told in the media that it's the most difficult thing to cure, and the scientists are working on a cure, and they're working so hard to give us a cure for cancer. And it's, hopefully we'll arrive at that soon, but the day has not yet arrived. Well, that's all lies. There has been a cure for cancer. There have not just one cure. There have been
many since the 1920s. Yes. Royal even Rife.
Before, Rife.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Rife, a technology that they put up so many obstacles.
Well, and they destroyed Rife. They turned Rife into an alcoholic, put him on trial, and ruined it. If that technology were actually carried forward and perfected, there would be no disease anymore, not to speak of. Go ahead again. Yeah, you're right.
His technology was simulated, recreated, not quite as effective as Rife's own technology, but it was mm-hmm. recreated. And I know personally a man who used the machine, the frequency generator, to treat people with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember before I used the machine. He said the last man that he used this machine on. Had a prostate cancer, and he was totally cured.
Mm-hmm.
Back in 2006, late 2006, early 2007, I thought I had only a couple of weeks to live. I was that far gone.
Really?
And I got my hands on that machine,
mm-hmm.
the frequency generator, and after a month mm-hmm. and a half, I felt so much improved. I realized that I don't need this machine anymore. I've recovered.
That's remarkable. I just FYI, I go back about 30 years, 35 years with Rife instruments. I know a lot about them. I was honored and able to narrate the best documentary ever done on Royal Rife and his technology. It's on DVD. And I have had many successes with Rife. I would love to have a list of your... now, this was prostate cancer we're talking about?
Well, no, there was another man who had... it was not me.
Yeah, but that's the guy. Okay. And I'd love to know the frequencies that were used routinely, which ones worked. I know a lot about this, a lot, believe me. So what you're saying makes perfect sense to me.
I have somewhere in my house the papers with the frequencies, but
I have the manual with all the frequencies. I'd just be curious to know which ones that particular man used with such success. That's a big story. Very good.
Well, I know the frequencies that were used because the man who gave me the list of frequencies is the one who input those frequencies to cure the man of prostate cancer.
Got it. Yeah.
Now,
yep.
The Food and Drug Administration did a so-called scientific randomized controlled test study to determine whether this technology works or not, whether it's quackery that the public has to be protected against this sort of thing, or mm-hmm. whether it really works. And of course, it's outcome-oriented. They set the parameters, and, of course, it failed. And they said it doesn't work. Well, before I had the major health crisis, where I thought I had only a couple of weeks to live, and this was my last desperate attempt at staying alive in late 2006.
Uh-huh.
A couple of years earlier, I had gone through 8 years of the most miserable relapses from malaria that I had caught in Maharashtra state in India.
Mm-hmm.
As I mentioned to a cardiologist in Massachusetts from India, that I had contracted malaria in the Maharashtra state, and he told me that is a very excellent place to catch malaria.
Okay.
And 8 years of misery, of the relapses, ended in an instant. I sat 30 minutes before that frequency generator, set uh-huh. to the frequency, mm-hmm. set to the specific frequency that destroys the malaria parasite.
Mm-hmm.
And from that day until the present, I have never, ever again suffered a relapse of malaria. It completely destroyed the malaria.
I am that not surprised. I believe everything you're saying, having seen it that myself.
That is the Rife technology. That is how effective it is.
Mm-hmm.
But we are told by the Food and Drug Administration and all of the so-called medical and health authorities of the U.S. government that this technology is quackery, and that the public has to be against it, and it has to be outlawed, and it's illegal, and you have to use the medications that are prescribed. Well,
the more they try to destroy something, the more attention you ought to pay to it. That's just a given. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Sad story. All that technology, all those approaches, cancer is not a problem. Disease is not a problem. Of course, what we're dealing with now are diseases among the vaxxed, which are generated by the actual bioweapon. They're not easy to treat. So it's a different kind of a thing. These are synthetically created diseases in people and disorders, and the mechanisms are still there. Rife would have been able to figure out a means to destroy the spike protein itself, I'm sure, with the proper frequency. He had the gift.
Yeah.
And well, that's very interesting.
The irrefutable proof about these so-called vaccines, that they are indeed bioweapons, are the statistics from the UK, the official government statistics.
Uh-huh.
Even though you have inflated figures about COVID death, because what they did in the UK, like we did also in North America, that the people who were vaccinated, as it were, who were administered the bioweapon, they died in much greater numbers than the people who were attributed to have died of COVID. And the ones themselves who were tested positive for COVID, many of them were put into hospital wards and were given drugs that brought about their death. The people were being programmatically terminated just on the result of a positive finding of the PCR test. So many people did not die of COVID, but they died from the drugs that were administered to them, and these were put down as COVID deaths. Be that as it may, there was only a certain number of people who died from death attributed to COVID.
Right.
But the excess deaths, the unexplained, unexpected deaths, the excess deaths, as were registered in the statistics of the United Kingdom, between the vaccinated and the unvaccinated, reflect that among the vaccinated, the excess deaths are far higher.
Sure they are. Sure.
There is not a greater such great spike in unexpected death. It's the vaccines themselves which are killing people.
I know. It's quite a situation, and we're watching it very closely. Father Kramer, thank you. We'll talk to you. Well, let's see. I guess. Next Friday. Looks like September 1st. Talk to you then. Thank you very much. Okay, be well. All right. Father Paul Kramer. Okay, yes, everything he says about Rife is true, and you can find that documentary. It's online. It's really good. I was very, very fortunate to be able to do it. Outstanding production. The whole story's there with Rife's own voice throughout. That's what's amazing about it. Okay, we will be back tomorrow, Thursday. Have a good night or a good day wherever you are. Thanks for being here tonight. Another very busy day. We'll keep watching it for you and talk to you tomorrow.